Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. Trust that you've already sensed the presence of the Lord and the blessings that He's already bestowed upon us. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and look with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1. If you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God. As I read, you can follow right along with me. We're going to begin with verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and past diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the power of His, by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, this is Jesus Christ, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You this morning, again, we thank You for the opportunity made available to us and all that are here that took advantage of their opportunity to be in church today. And I pray, God, that You would just continue to meet with us in a very special way. I ask, God, that You would empower the preaching of Thy Word once again, that You would use me as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. For the last few Sundays, we've been addressing abundant life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said this. He said, The thief, which is the devil, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then He says this, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. We establish the fact that Satan, as a thief, has a stronghold on physical life because of a sin nature. As we live this physical life, we're always going to be battling the sin nature of man. Jesus came some 2,000 years ago to set us free and to give us spiritual life, which is abundant life. Now, if you truly have this knowledge, how could anyone not want what Jesus came to give us? It's a gift. It begins at salvation. And then as you continue to become more like Christ, you start experiencing more of the blessings of spiritual life, and you start living the life that you can live as a believer, the abundant life. Now, we studied the first week the idea of this abundant life, and the main hindrance to this abundant life is sin. And that's why we are to sin not, because all sin has scars that hinder life. The second week we preached on the, just last Sunday, we preached on the topic and the message, get past our past. Because many times people hold on to the past and they let the past control the future. Nothing you can do to change the past. As Paul said, you need to put it behind and press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Part of the abundant life is being able to look forward. How important that is. And then this morning, we find here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, Hebrews in chapter 1 reveals much about the life of Jesus Christ, who is our example, the example who established Christianity. And if you look there in Hebrews in chapter 1, as we just read, verse 1, the Bible reveals to us, verse 1 and 2, that he brought to us God's words. Jesus, as God the Son, in the Old Testament, God spoke to us through the prophets, but in the New Testament, in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So Jesus Christ, as God, who was there in the beginning, who was created all things, he came to this earth and he brought to humanity the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the revelation of New Testament Christianity, which is the life, which is abundant life that we have if you receive Jesus Christ, that you can live. In verse 3, the Bible says that now Jesus, after accomplishing what he came to accomplish, he ascended back to heaven, sent to us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God that seals every born-again believer until the day of redemption. And Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Amen. Part of the abundant life is knowing that you have Christ who gave you salvation. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, now he is ever living today to make intercession for us. Amen. Just having that knowledge of that brings joy. Having that knowledge does something for us. It ought to give you a peace that passes understanding concerning life and eternal life. But then in verse 9, and this is the message I really want to focus on this morning. In verse 9, as a man, the Bible says he was, while he walked on the earth, he was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. But as the God-man, as the man, Christ Jesus, he was anointed with the oil of gladness. God anointed him with the oil of gladness. That gladness is joy, pleasure of mind, cheerfulness, which is things that we ought to want to have abundant life. We want to have joy, a joy that can't be taken away. A joy even in the midst of storms, joy in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Whatever it is I'm going through, I can have this joy, which is connected to a pleasure of mind, which is cheerfulness, which is part of the abundant life. What does the Bible tell us that Jesus did in order to have this anointing of the oil of gladness? Look right there in verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, O other human beings that do not have this. His fellow man that does not have this anointing. love and hate. Thou hast loved and hated. As we live our physical life, it includes these two things: love and hate. Everyone has these feelings. Most will act on these feelings every day. To say I love you brings more gladness than to say I hate you. But we have these feelings every day. You might not tell somebody every day that you hate them, but can I tell you, you experience a degree of hate pretty much every day? You might not always tell somebody that you love them, but you will experience a degree or level of love, because that's part of the human life that we live. It's a very large part to love and to be loved, and yet to know that I'm hated and to hate. Many talk about love-hate relationships based on feelings. Sometimes it's raining and we love the rain because we're looking out there and our grass is dry and we've been pouring out all kind of money and trying to keep it looking a little green and having to water it. And you see the rain come and you say, I love the rain. And then other times you're outside and you're playing golf and it floods and you think, I hate this rain. Feelings, emotions. Golf is a game of love-hate relations. I've played with so many guys that after they hit a good drive, they'll kiss their driver. And then the next time they'll hit a bad one, they'll take it and throw it in the weeds. I love this game when I make a birdie. I hate this game when I make a triple bogey. Love, hate. Why do you keep doing it? It's part of life. That one shot, they tell you, which actually causes you to love it, will bring you back to that. And so many other things we could go on and on with concerning, but that's part of life. Love begins with a like, and a like can grow into a love. Hate begins with a dislike, and a dislike can grow into a hate. What's going on in our lives? Is there more hate going on than love? How we love and how we hate will affect our abundant life. Did you notice there that the Bible says that in Hebrews 1:9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. The question and the message I want to present this morning from the Word of God is, am I loving and hating like Christ? It's a key to living the abundant life that God, that Jesus brought to us. And once you receive Him, you have an opportunity to live. Most will love and hate according to their flesh and not according to Christ's example. A lost man cannot live a spiritual life. Therefore, he will not love as Christ loved. Not saying he will not love. He will not love as Christ loved. A lost man, because he does not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God and cannot live a spiritual life, will not hate as Christ hated. He will live his life hating based on the sinful nature of man, which Satan has a stronghold on every one of us through this sinful nature. And it's only through Jesus Christ that you can get the victory over that stronghold. But you can get the victory over that stronghold, and you can live the spiritual life, which is the abundant life that Jesus Christ brought to us. So Christ's example of love. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Because this ought to be what controls our everyday lives. Because you can love like Christ loved every day if you choose to. If you're saved, then you have the capacity, you have the ability, you have the power to love as Christ loved. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, which is the third part of the Trinity of God, which has the very same powers as Jesus had and has the very same powers that God the Father has. You have him dwelling within you, and he can, if you yield to him, allow you to experience love like Christ loved. And it'll make a difference in life. Christ's example of love. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now, they were to love one another in the Old Testament. They were to love one another as Jews believing in the same God. They were all under the same God, the Creator God. They were to love one another, but this was what was the difference: as I have loved you. They did not have the example of Christ in the Old Testament to follow after, but Jesus came and lived a human life so that we would have an example to look to and to be able to live like Christ. And living like Christ begins with understanding the life of Christ and how he loved. And as we understand how he loved, love like he loved us. Yeah. As I have, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another, following his example. Now, to define love, many look to the Greek words that describe and define the one word, English word, love. And there were several different things going on with that. There is the Greek word eros, which is sexual passion. There is a Greek word philia, which is friendship. There's a Greek word ladios, which is flirting type of love. There is a pragma, which is a patient type of love. And there is philetia, which is a love of self. And then the one that is Bible love is agape love, which is selfless, which is also defined as charity. It's God's love. And that is defined, and we're going to look there in a few minutes, but not just right now, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us a list and a description of what this love is, this charity. In the English definition, in the dictionary, the 1828 Webster's, the 1828 of the English language, love is defined as an affection of the mind. Because before you'll ever feel love, you will have to think love. before you're able to express the love of Christ, you'll have to have the knowledge of the love of Christ. It's in our minds. And when we understand this, then we can allow this to be lived out, whether it's love or whether it's hate. An affection of the mind. To love like Christ, we must be mindful of Christ. Look over to John chapter 15. Everybody following me this morning? This is basic stuff. This is things that we deal with every day of our lives, and sometimes we're blinded to it. And the problem why we're not enjoying the life, the spiritual life that God wants us to live and having this abundant life, could be simply that you're not loving as Christ loved. Chapter 15 of John, in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, this is the kind of love that we need to look to. It comes from God the Father. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. It's heaven. It's a kind of love that will control everyone in heaven. There will be no hate in heaven, although there has to be hate here on this earth. We're going to define that. We're going to see that in just a minute. We have to hate as Christ hated. But we have to focus on loving as Christ loved, first of all. Because once this life is over on this earth, we are going to enjoy that this kind of love, the love that God had for Jesus, that Jesus brought to us for an eternity. And that's life. That's abundant life. Loving like Christ in this life will bring to us the blessings of the abundant life. So he says, as a father hath loved me, it came from God, it came from heaven. It didn't come from this world. It didn't come of man. It didn't come of the flesh. This is coming from the creator of all things. This is his love. This is who, this identifies and describes who God is. God is love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I brought it to you. Now I want you to learn from this and continue ye in my love. Because it's what I brought to you. This abundant life. Verse 12. This is my commandment. If you're going to have the blessings of God upon your life, then you have to be obedient to his commands. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It'll change your life. If you're not loving this way, you don't realize how it is affecting your life. When you learn to love this way, it will be that abundant life. Wow. Yeah. You see, we have to reject thoughts that are not according to the mind of Christ. Because most love is really lust. And you're calling it love, and it's really not love. Most young people, I've said this before, because so they're just experiencing love, feelings of love, and most teenagers will fall in love with the feeling instead of the person, and they will mistakenly think the person is what's bringing these feelings, and then they realize that that's really not love. I trust that made sense. Because it is true. Most people fall in love with love and not the person, but they identify it, and then they find out this is not really the person that I love. now that I understand what love is. So we have to reject thoughts that are not according to the mind of Christ. If it highlights you, it's not love. If it's done out of selfishness, it is not love. That's not the love that Christ had. This idea of agape is selfless charity. Selfless. As we reject those thoughts, we have to be able to identify those thoughts. And then we have to know how to replace that thought with a true thought of love concerning Christ's love. So now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. After laying that foundation, I think actually this is Christ's love. This is the way that we are to love. It was the love in God. It's God's love for Jesus. And Jesus brought this love to humanity. And now his commandment is that we love one another this way. This is God's love. Christ's example of love. This kind of love will bring to us this abundant life. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's really not anything. You have to have this love, God's love. It's charity. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Wow. Do you realize the power that he has just explained to us of this idea of love? Not lust and not man's love, but God's love. This has power associated with your living life when we determine to live as Christ loved us. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, sacrificed, and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Some people just need to stop being so ornery. It would change your whole disposition of life if you stop with the negative thoughts and just determined, I am going to be kind. I am not going to say anything that's going to be offensive. I'm not going to say anything to hurt anybody. I am just going to think about somebody else's feelings, and I'm going to just be kind. Amen. Too often we get old and we just settle in to being ornery, and you live a miserable fourth quarter of your life. Yeah, miserable. Yeah, have you ever noticed that most elderly people are either sweet or ornery? I trust that I'm going to be sweet. Amen. I've got a few years to go before I get to that elderly age. I know. But it's how they live their lives. You can be kind if you want to be kind. And if you're going to be obedient and you're going to enjoy this abundant life, you must. It's part of the love of God, the example that was given to us. Kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. If it's something that is going to vaunt you, if it's something that's going to put you out there, then it's not of God. Reject that thought. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. It will always be the best thing that we can do. Always. Verse 13 says this, and now abideth faith, which is powerful, hope, which is powerful, and charity. Three very powerful things. These three. But the Bible says the greatest of these, I would think faith. I might even think hope. But God says the greatest of these, which is the greatest thing of all, is charity. Do we have it? Do we have it? So we have Christ's example of love, which is charity. We also have Christ's example of hate. God does have the capacity to hate. The Bible says he hated iniquity. Hate defined is great dislike. It begins with a dislike, and if you continue in disliking it, it can lead to hate. Great dislike, an aversion to evil. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, let me just read to you. You know these verses, hopefully. It reveals to us about what God hates. God does hate. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says this, these six things doth the Lord hate. Great dislike and aversion to evil. And list them. And these are things in the book of Psalms in chapter 97 verse 10 says this, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Ye that love the Lord, you say, I love God. Well, then if you truly love God, then you have to hate what God hates. And God has revealed to us what he hates. And it's part of our lives. All of us have the capacity to hate, and we have to make sure that what we are hating is based on what God tells us to hate and not based on what the flesh wants to control us with. One of the memories, going back in time, I wish I could change something. I love my mom. I was her youngest son. She told me I'd never outgrow that. And I remember one time getting so upset with her because I said, I hate you. And I seen the look in her face. I was probably 10, 12. Yeah. Over 50 years ago, 53 years ago, and yet it still stings. When I seen the look on her face, and I tried to, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, but it was already there. That's not the kind of hate that God would have us to have. That's the kind of hate that'll take away your joy. That's the kind of hate will take away your gladness. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. You ought to hate it. You ought to hate it. If you ever find yourself with a proud look, you ought to die to yourself. That's why Paul said, crucify the flesh. Get rid of it. Because that's not something that's going to bring you abundant life. A lying tongue. I tell young people in marital counseling, Satan works through lies and deception. God works through truth and honesty. You're going to determine, do you want God's blessings or Satan's blessings on your marriage? If you want God's blessings on your marriage, you better be honest and truthful with each other. Do not ever think that it'd be right to tell them a lie, thinking that it's doing them good. That lie will hinder that relationship. I got time. When you get married, okay, you want to please your spouse. And then your wife, the lady comes down with a dress on and she's wanting to find out if you really like this. And she says, honey, what do you think? And inside you're thinking, I hate it. But I don't want to tell her that because it'll hurt her feelings. So you come out with, oh, looks nice. I love that. Yes. She goes back up with a smile on her face. Every time that she gets ready to please you, what dress is she going to put on? She's thinking, you told her. She's thinking that you love it. And so she's looking to please you. And she thinks when she comes out with this dress, she's pleasing you. And at the same time, inside of you, you're thinking, I hate that. But you did it to yourself. You chose to lie. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to be honest. The right way is, honey, I love you. You're beautiful. But I really don't like that dress. She'll start crying. She'll go up, but you'll never have to worry about her putting that dress back on. Yeah. How many white lies is Satan using to take away your abundant life and your relationships? Satan works through lies and deception. God works through truth and honesty. And you get to choose who do you want to bless your marriage. Who do you want to bless in your relationship? Yeah. A lying tongue, God hates it. You ought to hate lying. You ought to hate any lie and every lie. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. These are things that we must hate. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Jesus came and gave us an example of loving righteousness and hating iniquity. I'm going to tell you that all hate is sin, except for the hate of sin, iniquity. The Bible says hatred stirreth up strife. It does. Many people's lives are a mess because of living with the sin of hate. All sin, all hate is sin, except for the hatred of sin. Therefore, no matter what somebody's done to you, and you've heard this, but do you understand it? You love the person, hate the sin. Never hate the person because that person could get saved and be a totally different person after salvation. That person is a person that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save, to give an opportunity to be saved. And we're not letting anybody off that has committed sin because they need to pay whatever price, whatever the judgment. And God is a just God, and so he is to be just, you have to have judgment. They need to be fully judged according to whatever they have done wrong. But as far as you, don't see yourself as a victim. Hate the sin and do whatever you can to keep that kind of sin from affecting and hindering and hurting anyone else. For if you really hate it, you'll want to stamp it out. Yeah. It's not of God or abundant life to allow ourselves to hate anyone. In closing, in Matthew chapter 5, how can I do that, preacher? You can if you're lost. You can't. You can't live a spiritual life if you're lost. If you can't live a spiritual life, you cannot have the abundant life. But if you're saved, then you can. In Matthew chapter 5, over there in Matthew chapter 5, and I'll close with this in verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's humanism. That's what all of us of the sinful nature would agree to. But I say unto you, God who brought an understanding of love and an understanding of hate to this earth, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And this is the key, that you don't do it for them, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? When you determine, I'm going to love like Jesus loved, and I'm going to hate like Jesus hated, you're on your way to being identified as a true born-again believer representing Jesus Christ. And when you live a life that is representing Jesus Christ, you have that abundant life. It'll make a difference. Are you loving and are you hating after the example of Christ? If I could have every head bowed this morning. How we live in life. Love and hate, it's part of our everyday lives. It truly is. This physical life, it's part of it. We need to make sure that our hate is after the example of Christ. And our love is likewise after the example of Christ. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you, God, that you can help us through your word to understand these things about living a life and living it more abundantly. I pray this morning, God, that you would help each one to receive this message and make applications. And if there are decisions that need to be made, there could be someone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that cannot live the life of Christ outside of, first of all, getting saved. Help them today to come to this altar and let someone take a Bible and show them what you say a person must do to be saved, to have the opportunity to live the abundant life. Bless now the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.